Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Harishankar. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinalam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And these days, every day in Prashanti, I meet people who have just landed in Puttaparthi from Australia or Canada or US or Denmark. Why? Waiting for the big day. Yes, the day celebrating the advent of the Son of God. Christmas is just about a fortnight away and people have started streaming into this heaven of supreme peace to offer their collective love and gratitude to their beloved Lord. This year, the devotees from Australia are taking the lead in doing the decorations for Christmas in Sai Kulwant Hall and in the ashram. There are over 300 devotees coming from this island nation, all prepared to adorn the Sai Kulwant Hall with bells and stars and angels and Christmas trees and ribbons and colors, and they are going to begin their work on December 21st. So on December 24th evening, when the adult overseas choir happens in the Mandir, you are going to see a fresh and new beautifully bedecked Prashanti Mandir. And on December 25th morning, there is going to be another choir, now by the students of Babas University. In the evening of the same day, there is the third choir of this Christmas by the devotees who have assembled at the feet of Baba to offer their prayers. There is also going to be an international children's choir, the fourth choir. And this will happen on the same Christmas Day evening, December 25th. And the celebrations continue the next day too. On December 26th, there will be an international children's drama entitled The Fourth Wise Man. So that is how 24th, 25th and 26th of December is going to be in this divine valley, packed with prayers and devotional offerings. Plus there is a day of sadhana camp on 27th in the lecture hall. That day is filled with inspiring talks. So many beautiful talks are scheduled for that day by distinguished devotees. So Prashanti is slowly gearing up to this joyous festival. In fact, just today I had the chance to meet one Anglican priest, Father Francis Kumaran Subrayan from South Africa, who is so taken in by the universal message of Baba that he said, "I wish I had come here when Baba was there. I miss that. But never mind. He knows best. He knows what is the right time for me." And this father, Father Francis, is so fascinated by Indian culture that in his church in South Africa, he performs arati to the statue of Jesus Christ there. In fact, his Jesus Christ sits in a lotus posture, just like the Buddha, and he is bedecked in an orange robe. Yes. And every year, he takes the statue of Mother Mary out in a procession. He does abhishekam to the idol. So this is Father Francis Kumaran Subrayan, absolutely convinced of the unity of divinity, the true spiritual nature of all these rituals. He not only practices them, but also fearlessly preaches them. In fact, that reminds me of the Christmas Day discourse that Baba delivered in 1985. Swami very clearly and emphatically on that day said, "People say that atom bombs will reduce the world to ashes. But those who are promoting religious bigotry and hatred between people of different faiths and distancing one community from another, they indeed are doing greater damage to the world than what atom bombs can do," Swami said. "Because they are destroying love and compassion in human hearts. They are breaking up mankind into fragments." And Swami went on to add, "There is no greater sin than this. Anything that removes love and compassion from our heart is the worst thing that can happen to the people of this world." And Swami went on to add in that discourse, "What the world needs today is the redeeming and unifying force of love. A love that is continuously expanding and a love that embraces more and more people. God is one and God is love." And in this discourse given in 1985, Swami again and again asserted the unity of divinity and the cultivation of the feeling of brotherliness. As the Bible so beautifully puts it, brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. So this conversation with Father Francis Kumaran Subrayan that I had today, in which she shared many beautiful insights about the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It was a very revealing interview, and I'm going to work on this file and make it ready to play for you the coming Thursday on December 19th. We will be much closer to Christmas then. But today, I'm going to continue from where we left off last Thursday. Yes, that enriching discussion on that unmatched and eternal servant of the Lord, Hanuman. And I always feel so happy to discuss about Hanuman, because he's one example where a monkey became not only a saint but divinity himself. He attained the highest status, in fact, through the power of his devotion to the Lord and dedication to the Lord's work. He captured Bhagwan so much that Swami placed him at the pedestal greater than the gods. And that is what we see in the Hillview Stadium. On the top of the hill in the Hillview Stadium is this towering 65 feet statue of Hanuman. And only below him are the other gods, be it Lord Krishna, Shiva, Jesus or Buddha. So for the Lord, love is supreme. There is nothing higher than that. What even God cannot do, love for God can do. Love for God can compel God to do things that God perhaps in the normal course of things would not have done. And there is no greater example than Hanuman when it comes to faith, when it comes to devotion, when it comes to love for the divine, and when it comes to transforming oneself into an instrument of the Lord. How to mold oneself so that we too can become an instrument in the Lord's hands. We learn this beautifully and powerfully from the life of Hanuman. So let's begin with a melodious hymn dedicated to Hanuman.
Manojavam Marutatulyavegam Jitendriyam Buddhimatam Varishtam Vatatmajam Vanarayuthamukhyam Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadye Shri Ramadutam Sharanam Prapadye Sita Shoganashanam Anjanatmajam సీతాశోకనాశనం అంజనాత్మజం పరహిత ప్రియం సాయి వాయునందనం పరహిత ప్రియం సాయి వాయునందనం పరహిత ప్రియం సాయి వాయునందనం రామ 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 పాద సేవితం
So that is the offering by devotees of Kerala. And dear listeners, you are listening to the live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Vishu at your service.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So thank you for tuning in and continuing to listen to our Thursday Live from the studios of Radio Sai, and welcome to this fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And today, as I just mentioned, we continue the panel discussion on Hanuman. Hanuman, the annual sports and cultural meet, and the lessons that we learn from his life. We recorded this discussion about a week ago on December 3rd, and I played for you the first 45 minutes of this in the previous Thursday Live. And in that session, we started off sharing our understanding of why Baba has placed Hanuman right at the summit of the hill in the Hillview Stadium. And then we started looking at the role model that Hanuman is for the students. And we started discussing this through those beautiful dictums of Bhagwan. Life is a game played. Life is a challenge. Meet it. And we saw how from Hanuman's life you get inspiration and lessons to live all these dictums of life in our daily routine. And we were discussing life is a challenge, meet it. When we stopped last time, we were talking about sattvic challenges, rajasic challenges and tamasic challenges. We talked about the sattvic challenge, and we mentioned how when boys go back home and the parents many times, if you feel, oh, my son has not really spent so much time watching TV, okay, you know what, you can watch TV. And so that is sort of a sattvic challenge, we called it. And just like Hanuman politely refused the offer of Mount Mainaka when he was flying across the ocean. Because even though Mainaka had all good intentions of serving Hanuman, but Hanuman said he is busy doing Lord's work and he cannot rest. So he politely sort of negotiated with the mountain and moved on. Similarly, there are so many things, so many challenges in our life which probably people with seemingly good intentions want to help us, but actually in the process they sometimes do disservice to us. So those are sattvic challenges in life. But there are also rajasic challenges, and these are challenges where you will have to use knack, or you will have to use your intelligence. And Bhagwan has explained how you can look at the life of Hanuman to learn how to tackle these challenges in life. So we were discussing about these rajasic challenges when we stopped last time. So let's now move on, and you can listen to another 45 minutes today, and you will find very beautiful lessons. Apart from life is a challenge, meet it, then we move on to life is a dream, realize it. That will come in the end. Bend the body, mend the senses, end the mind, Swami says. And we can see the play of all this in the life of Hanuman. So I'm now going to play for you from where we left off last time. And the two brothers from the university who had joined me in this discussion are Deepak Anand, who teaches management students, and Brother Sai Giridhar, who is in the Department of Chemistry. So over now to the second part of Hanuman, the annual sports and cultural meet, and the message from his life that we can translate in our lives.
I remember a very senior devotee of Bhagwan had shared his experience as well. He was appointed as the head of one of the most prestigious organizations at the national level, which controls the industrial policies and all those things. And as part of the ceremony of inducting the chairman, or being appointed as the chairman of that particular committee, it is mandatory to raise a toast. You know, which means you have to have wine with your colleagues. And it is a mandatory ritual which is followed there. And here was a devotee of Bhagwan who was there. He follows Swami's teachings implicitly, so he avoids drinking and smoking absolutely in his life. So he was wondering what he should do, because here was a glass of wine in front of him. It's a mandatory ritual. He cannot negotiate like how Hanuman negotiated with Mainaka. It's a rajasic obstacle here. And Hanumanji teaches a beautiful method here. He says, use your intelligence, or yukti, as Swami says.
Knack, Swami used to use knack, the word sometimes.
In fact, this yukti is not ordinary intelligence. It is intelligence inspired by your conscience.
Correct.
Or in Hanuman's case specifically, the Atma Rama.
Yeah.
And here is what this devotee did. He immediately connected to his Lord, that is Bhagwan, and a yukti, or an intelligent method, flashed into his mind. What he did was, as he would go and cling the glass with his colleagues, raising the toast, there were a few flower pots or something like that along the sides of the room. So he would cling the glass, raise the toast, slowly pour off a little bit of the wine into the pot.
Unnoticed.
Right? Unnoticed by anybody. Again, he would go speak to the next person, cling the glass, and then slowly pour a little bit more wine into the next pot. So that way, by the time he completed his circle, everybody noticed that his glass was empty. So they all thought that he, you know, had participated in the ritual. But the fact remains that he was holding on to the principles which Swami has taught. And even at that kind of a level, where he was a chairman of such a prestigious organization.
Wow.
This yukti, as Sir beautifully mentioned, is born out of the connection, or the understanding that the Lord is the actual doer. Many students ask this question, many youngsters, they say, it is fine, we understand that, you know, it is not good to have these bad habits and all, but when we go outside, the pressure is so much, the work pressure is so much, our MDs, our bosses, they force us to indulge in these things. What can we do under such circumstances? Is it not right to oblige them? Or how do we tackle the situation? And when we talk about yukti, they often say, how do we get such intelligent methods? I mean, they might say that this person was lucky to have got that kind of an intuition at that point of time. But the fact remains is, if you are dedicated in the service to the Lord, if you have dedicated yourself to the principles which Bhagwan has taught you, He Himself will come and protect you.
Yes.
And He will give you the right kind of yukti or intelligence to overcome that rajasic obstacle.
In fact, I faced this situation in my own work life. I was working in a financial concern in Delhi before I came in and joined for MBA again. And my boss used to go to the club every day in the evening, and probably he was drinking also. And he would also once in a while go for having a smoke and after a few hours of office work. So somehow he would force me along, you know, for discussion, for business discussions too, when he goes for a smoke. But he would say, Deepak, why don't you come for the evening club, right? You can also enjoy. And I would say, sir, my conditionalities are very clear. If you come to for the bhajan in my house, I would come to the club also. Unless you come for bhajan to my house, sir, unless you know, you give us that pleasure, I can't give you this pleasure. I think we work on that basis. And whenever, so he never came to my bhajan, I never went to the club. That was the first part. Second part, whenever he's not in the office, and his wife would call up, and she would ask, where is your boss? I would always say, I think maybe he's gone for a smoke. After a few days, I think he got so much of bashings from his wife in the house. And whenever I call you, you are smoking, he left his smoking also.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we have to find ways of, you know, managing these situations.
Yeah, managing.
But Swami always gives us. The other aspect, you know, I think we should not miss here is what the Giridhar beautifully said was that Hanuman is Vayuputra. In fact, he symbolizes all of us. In some way or the other, you know, what he epitomizes what we have to become. And mind is expansive. It can expand to any levels. And it can also contract and find a way out. Similarly, a devotee's mind also should find its own potential of expansiveness when need comes. And before God, it should become totally humble and small and be able to reach that way and the goal of merging in oneness with God. So both aspects are important, I think.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very beautiful insight.
Yes.
In fact, just to add to what Giridhar was saying, I remember so many instances of students, just like you mentioned the wine incident. And there's another boy who was supposed to have this wine in his hand who just exchanged it for a Coke.
For a Coke.
And no one ever realized that is what he was having in his hand. In fact, the other day I was speaking to another former student of our university, E. Srikant. He's working in Bangalore. And he was telling that all his colleagues in the office are surprised. One of them came and told him one day, Srikant, how is it that you don't have even one bad quality in you? For him, it was like, it's so natural. You're a product of this university, so you generally don't indulge in many of these things. But he was telling, they are so surprised, they can't even fathom that I don't do any of these things. They're like, how is it possible? So they have actually grown in respect for who he is. There's another similar incident I know of Satya Jamunathan, a Sai youth from USA, you know, who, even though he was working in a marketing company, who said, I am never going to compromise on the truth. And initially he had tough time, because, you know, when you're marketing, you have to many times window dress and decorate what you're trying to say. But he said, I'm not going to do that. And eventually it came to a point where when the company wanted to send one representative whom the client will definitely believe, the client said, if Satya comes, then we are not going to doubt what the company is saying. It came to a point where he was the representative of the company when it came to credibility.
And that is what actually Swami says, leadership role is important. He was a leader of the Vanara army. And it is always better to fight with an army of sheep, with a leader as a king, than an army of lions, you know, with a sheep as a king. So it is very important that leadership is very important. What actually happens, even if you see in Prashanthi Nilayam, in our hostel and institution, any student who comes, he immediately starts developing the qualities of surrender, love and clarity and devotion to God. Because the culture of this particular place has made it to happen. That culture is basically what the leader does.
Yes.
The whole army could, untrained army of the monkeys could win over.
Yes.
The trained army of the Ravanas, only because the leader was like Hanuman.
Yes.
Who epitomizes.
And you saw even, it was that whole ambience. We have instances in Ramayana where it was this environment which sort of enabled Hanuman to rediscover himself.
That is true. Yes.
Because when he was asked to cross the ocean, there were these Jambavan and all the other elders who said, Hanuman, you are the one with that mighty strength. You do not know your potential. They had to tell him all the feats that Hanuman had done in his childhood, you know, going up to the sun and etc., etc. He told Hanuman, you are the one who has the mettle to do this. And it was because of that environment, that satsangam.
In fact, that satsang is such a powerful instrument. And can you just imagine this? I mean, through the medium of Radio Sai today, the discourse stream especially, we get to listen to Swami so often. And imagine Hanuman had Jambavan, Angada and the likes to inspire him, to give him the true picture of his potential. But we have Rama himself.
Swami himself.
Sai Rama himself thundering in through every single discourse of his, through every single book which Swami has written through his Vahinis. Swami thunders unto us. You know, Swami says that I am like the lion who has come in your dream. And I have come here to roar and awaken you from this slumber.
Yes.
And thinking about slumber, I think it moves to the third obstacle of Hanuman, which he faced, which is, who is called Simhika or Chayagrahi. Mm-hmm. Chayagrahi basically means one who had the power to drag the object by the shadow. So as Hanuman was flying over towards Lanka, the third obstacle which came there was this Simhika, a demoness, who had this power to drag any flying object by the shadow.
Yes.
And she started pulling Hanuman down. Right? So what Hanuman does is he simply goes and gives one strong blow and the demon was dead. And the significance of this is the third obstacle or Chayagrahi represents a tamasic obstacle. Tamasic obstacle means to see untruth as truth. Slothfulness. All these are qualities of tamas or tamasic obstacles in a sadhaka's life. And Swami says the only way to overcome tamas is to completely beat out of it. There is no way you can negotiate with tamas.
Yes.
There is no way you can use yukti or intelligent methods with
exactly.
tamas. The only way out is to come out of it. In fact, this shadow is very symbolic. This demoness was having this power to pull the object through the shadow. And shadow represents all the past vasanas, the desires, the emotions which we carry from so many births altogether. And all these vasanas pull down the spiritual progress of a sadhaka.
That's so significant.
And Swami said that the way ahead of overcoming these tamasic qualities or these vasanas which pull us down is to be determined and very strong and courageously, that is Hanuman-like courage, that is with
yes.
faith in the Lord, that my Lord is the one who is driving me, He is the one who is working through me, with faith in the Lord to put all your efforts to overcome these vasanas and eliminate them
yes.
completely.
Yes.
These vasanas tendencies cannot be negotiated, like how it was done with the Mainak Parvat. They cannot be got rid of
no intelligence.
With intelligent means. In fact, they will eat you up if
yes.
they will have counter intelligence to, you know, mind is like that. Mind will come up with more intelligent ways to completely eat you up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The only way
just
out
to
is
give an example, Giridhar, what you are saying. For example, you just take this vasana of say sleep, sloth. You know, if you want to negotiate, you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning, you want to negotiate, it's okay, you know. Let me just, another 10 minutes.
Oh, 1 hour will be gone.
1 hour will be gone.
You get to know.
Or sometimes it'll become, you will try to use yukti. You know what, sleep is so important. Rest, the body heals itself the most when it takes rest.
Takes rest. If I don't sleep now, you know, probably in the day I'll feel sleepy.
I'll feel
better
sleep,
take
yeah,
rest
better
now.
I take rest. The mind can work in various misleading, mysterious ways. So you cannot negotiate and you cannot use your intelligence. You just have to just throw.
You
throw
to
the
run away from
run away
bad company.
Bad, run away
you
from
cannot
bad
negotiate
company.
With bad company.
But the other thing that you mentioned, Giridhar, yes, you need the determination. But I feel that determination, that willpower can come only when you have led a life of discipline. Because you have to sort of strengthen your being. You have to strengthen your willpower. See, what is happening is many times people know this is good and this is wrong. But you are not able to exercise your willpower to go in that direction. It's because you have not disciplined your life. You have not strengthened your inner self. And I think in Hanuman's personality, all these years before he met Rama, he had disciplined his life only Namasmarana. He was constantly focused on the Lord and he had no family, nothing. Only focused on the Lord. And if the king, Sugriva, gave him any job, he did that job.
And the disciplines of his sadhana.
The discipline of his sadhana. And even you saw so many instances like that. It was because of that steadfast character that he could do Ramakarya. Even he went to Lanka and, you know, he had to looking for Sita. He had to go into the palaces, inner rooms. But he didn't cast his eyes on anything. He knew where to put his eyes on and where to close his eyes off. Even the respectfulness that he had towards elders. It is said that Hanuman would always bend his head and always kneel down in front of the Lord. He didn't want to give even a slightest of inconvenience to the Lord. There should be not even a slightest of physical discomfiture to the Lord when he is communicating with Hanuman. He is always below at the Lord's feet.
Feet, yeah.
And when that Astra,
Brahmastra
was laid, he just obeyed.
That is when Indrajit, in order to bind Hanuman,
yes,
shot this Brahmastra,
yes,
the weapon of Lord Brahma himself, only sheerly to give respect to Lord Brahma, Hanumanji got bound by that Astra, isn't it?
Yes.
So he bowed down to Sattvic authority, right? To that position of great Sattva.
Yes.
But I think the sharp contrast to that was, when he was in the Ravana's court.
Yeah. When he came across such Rajasic or Tamasic authority like Ravana and the likes of the demons in the court, he immediately shattered the shackles to show that I only bow in respect to Lord Brahma.
Yes.
And not because of your authority.
Hmm.
So in fact, he breaks the shackles in front of Ravana to show that it is not you who have bound me. It is my respect for Lord Brahma
that
I decided to bind myself.
Yes.
And in fact, it's on a very lighter note, when we talk about the slothfulness and the discipline, I am reminded of the sports meet again.
Sure.
In a hostel, typically what happens is the students are sleeping, and for the sports meet, we need to get up early and do our warm-ups because, it involves rigorous exercises.
You cannot do those feats without...
Yeah, without proper preparation.
Few minutes of warm-up at least.
Yeah. So, what we do is we get up early, 5:15, 5:30, and hit the Hillview Stadium for jogging and exercises, specific rigorous routines for the events which the boys are performing. And you will see that boys who are slothful and who are influenced by the tamasic qualities at that point, they'll come a little late.
Hmm.
And it's interesting what punishment, it's so-called punishment, because here in Swami's universities specifically, punishments are more corrective measures. They are not to really punish the person in the sense of taking revenge on him, or no such attitude is there. It's so beautiful that even the punishment should benefit the student. So the typical punishment given to those who were succumbed to sloth in the mornings of, the sports meet practice is we ask them to go all the way up to Hanuman, touch his feet and come back. And gain inspiration from him. How do you overcome the tamasic qualities that way? So that is a very beautiful anecdote, I feel, in how you should overcome the tamasic quality. And once or twice boys do that, they don't want to be climbing the Hanuman Hill every day. So they overcome the sloth on their own, and then you find
that discipline.
Yeah, that discipline sets in. As you beautifully said, discipline is paramount. And in fact, the way discipline leads to duty, which is actually doing Ramakarya, is fantastic. If you are to quickly sketch the journey from discipline to duty, that is doing the Ramakarya, these are the 5 D's, where the first is discipline. And when you have a disciplined life, it helps you with discrimination. If you have an indisciplined life, what happens is, when you have to make choices, it becomes difficult to make choices because you don't have the necessary willpower or direction of mind, to make a forceful choice or a clear choice rather, that this is the right thing to do. So discipline helps in discrimination. When you have both discipline and discrimination, it helps in detachment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Discipline and discrimination with determination helps in detachment. What is detachment? Swami says beautifully, detachment doesn't mean you leave the whole world and run into a Himalayan cave. Swami beautifully describes, detachment means imagine yourself holding God with one hand and world with another hand. And when circumstances come, when the world is pulling you so much that you tend to leave even the other hand and go towards the world, detachment means to leave the world and hold on to God with both your hands.
So, discrimination helps you to know this is world and this is God. Determination gives you
the willpower.
Willpower to hold on to God.
Yes.
And then comes detachment.
And in this detachment, what it basically means is detachment from the world is nothing but attachment to God. Attachment to God means to follow His words. In life situations, when we are faced with dilemmas, ethical dilemmas, moral dilemmas and problems, do we have the determination, the willpower and the discrimination to follow the instructions of the Lord, follow what pleases Bhagwan? So yes, that is what is attachment to God.
Follow the master.
Yeah. And it's very easy to get carried away in the worldly way, yes, which is again bondage to the world.
Yes.
So this kind of a detachment from the world, which is attachment to God,
yes,
grows as we grow in discipline, in discrimination and in determination, which leads to this detachment. Now, when we slowly detach ourselves from the world, that is, we don't go by the worldly ways. We live in the world, we work in the world, we enjoy the world, but we don't go by the worldly ways, but we go by the godly ways, or the ways which Swami has described to us. When we do that, we grow in devotion to the Lord.
Wow.
As we detach from the world and attach to God, we grow in devotion to the Lord. So, discipline, discrimination with determination leads to detachment. Such detachment from the world and increased attachment to God leads to devotion.
Devotion to God. And Hanuman, in Hanuman's life, you can see this journey.
You can see this journey. And such devotion to the Lord will enable you to be an instrument like Hanuman in doing his duty or Ramakarya. That is the real duty.
Beautiful.
So fantastic. I think when you look at this entire continuum, it ends with duty, which is doing Ramakarya, as you mentioned. And if you see at that point in time, your life actually becomes a celebration, because your life becomes an unending saga of love for God. And when you're in that state, there is no time in life where you feel that you're deprived of anything, because you have got the highest. And I think at that point, what comes to mind is this other quote of Bhagwan: life is love enjoyed. Now, we saw life is a game played. Then you gave all those examples. We thought life is a challenge meted. We saw through Hanuman's examples. Even this thing, this dictum of life is love enjoyed, again you see so beautifully in Hanuman's personality. Because his only aim in life was this aspiring for this love for God and doing Lord's work. And for him, life was a celebration.
In fact, Swami says, love without duty is divine.
Divine.
Isn't it? So, the duty, the kind of duty or the Ramakarya which Hanuman is engaged in is love without duty actually.
Yes.
You know, it's born out of love, pure love for God. And that kind of devotion or love for God leads to love without duty rather than duty the way we understand. And that is divine. And that love is life, and Swami says enjoy it.
In fact, even as we are talking about Hanuman and the sports meet preparations, many times in the morning when I go up the statue, when I jog and go up to the summit of the hill and I stand there, I get this such a expansive feeling. I am at the feet of Hanuman there, standing on the summit of that hill. And when you stand there, you see the panorama that is in front of you.
Of Puttaparthi.
Of Puttaparthi. You almost feel you are...
You're on the top of the world.
You're on the top of the world. You're on the top of Puttaparthi. And the thought that comes to me is, everything is there at your command. You feel like the king of the world when you choose God. As it is said in the Bible, seek the kingdom of God and everything else shall be added on to you. I personally used to get that feeling when I go to Hanuman. You know, everything else is insignificant.
In fact, that is the view which Hanuman gets every day. He gets to see the entire Puttaparthi, the expanse in front of him, right? Yes.
Everything else is
insignificant. He must be feeling like on top of the world.
Top of the world. In fact, that is what we all also feel, Bishu, you and Brother Giridhar, when we all come to Bhagwan and he accepts us.
Yes.
Is that not the same feeling that we always get, that, you know, we are on top of the world?
Yes.
In fact, recently I was in Singapore, Malaysia, and when I went to any particular place to either give a lecture or, you know, to talk with devotees, there was so much of warmth, there's so much of feeling of love and concern of those people towards me and of me towards them. And I was wondering, what is this particular selfless interest and love? It is the same love that God has given us. And when we have that love in our hearts, doors keep opening. In fact, my coming to Puttaparthi was opening of such a door.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to know about Bhagwan and he infused in me the seeds of devotion for him, I was very keen that come what may, I must become Bhagwan's student.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in 1991, I came to Bhagwan, still a second year student of my BCom honors course in Delhi University. Swami was not here, he was in Vrindavan, went for his darshan, and Swami looked at me and said, "Oh, good boy, Delhi boy." And then he gave me vibhuti and then he asked me what I wanted. And I only said, "Swami, I want an MBA seat. Give me an MBA seat in your university." And Swami said, sure, 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And but it so happened that I was still in second year of my BCom honors and I was not able to get admission. Even though I topped the MCom university examination, even then I was not found qualified because my first degree was BCom honors. Then I started working and that job also came on Swami's birthday without being asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, maybe it's Swami's will. And then finally when I came for my MBA examination here in 1997, I did not fare well in my interview.
Mm-hmm.
And Bhagwan was in Kodaikanal and I went to Bhagwan to plead on my behalf and said, "Swami, please now, you please give me the seat in MBA." And Swami did not speak to me, but took my letter and went. And after 6 years' time, I got that particular seat, I think, by His will. Because the desire and the devotion to be His instrument, to be with Him, to experience that love firsthand, was so intense at that point in time that He opened all the doors for me. And when I wanted to offer Him, you know, a choice between doing my business, which I was doing, or, you know, my admit card for the admission of MBA, He only took the admit card and blessed me and said, "Don't worry, I will take care." And later He said, "I told you, zarur, zarur, 6 times, for the reason that it would have taken you 6 years to come for the MBA course." So it was His all divine master plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our devotion, our determination,
yes,
to be close to Him, to do Rama Karya, to do, yeah, Sai Ram Karya,
yeah,
does help in the process.
I think all the time you will see that obstacles slowly melt away. When you have that devotion for the Lord, there is no obstacle which is really so debilitating.
Yes.
And even if you see Ramayana, so many times, even when Hanuman is crossing the ocean or when he has gone to get the Sanjivani Parvat, at every instance, you will find someone or the other appearing in the scene and guiding Hanuman.
True.
Even before he was, Sampati comes and shares about, says, "I am an eagle, I can see all
great distances.
I can see that Sita is there. So have no fear, this is the path you have to take."
He gives the direction actually, where to,
yes,
search for.
Yes, even when Hanuman goes to get the Sanjivani Parvat there, you have the crocodile, when he goes to drink water there, you have this crocodile who attacks Hanuman, and once Hanuman vanquishes that, it transforms into a heavenly celestial being and he's again guided. You see at every instance that you will be guided.
When you overcome the challenges. As Sir beautifully said, tests are His tests,
yes,
the Lord's tests.
Yes.
So when you pass a test, you know, automatically His grace flows in abundance,
yes,
to you. You know, it's such a wonderful thing.
And I think that is how that joy of life in those circumstances is something that is not comparable to anything else. I feel. You feel every moment of your life is a celebration because you are all the time in communion, trying to do His work, and there's nothing that is wanting in life.
Absolutely. And even though when you face challenges and difficulties, you can always hold on to Him and get the solutions. And I, you know, I'd like to share one experience in this regard, that in 2002, we had, Swami said that you must all make a presentation. Gram Seva had just started 2 years back. And Swami said, "You must all share your experiences about Gram Seva in the Sai Kulwant Hall." But this time Swami said, not individually, but in groups of two. In pairs, you must communicate with each other and share your experiences. Now, this kind of format was not very convenient to me because I would like to speak from my heart and memorizing those lines was a little difficult for me. So I would, on many occasions, even though we were having rehearsals in the Purnachandra, we were forgetting our lines. The previous day to the presentation, I again forgot my lines and everybody, including the Vice Chancellor, were very nervous about what will happen the next day. Now, I cannot be replaced by somebody else and I'm not able to perform also. So in the evening, in the hostel, I was staying in the hostel, so after evening dinner, I just ventured into the Hillview Stadium and looked at Lord Hanuman from a distance. And I said, "Lord, it is not just my responsibility to take care of the Lord Sai Rama's name. You are also equally responsible. So you have to help me because you epitomize and you have always served the Lord in devotion. And now is my opportunity, but I am failing. So as a co-devotee, would you not help?"
Be a partner.
And I said, "Lord, if you help me and tomorrow everything goes on very well, I promise to you for the next 7 days, I'll every day climb the hill. As Girisar said, you know, we give us a punishment. I will impose upon myself this honor of coming to that Hillview Stadium, coming to the hilltop and taking 9 rounds every day in circumambulation. Pradakshinas for the next 7 days' time." So next day, the performance went very well. Swami blessed us all with a group photograph, keeping his hand on our heads. It was just phenomenal. So I, to keep up my promise, the next day morning onwards, I started climbing the hill and did 9 rounds of pradakshina every day and then came back and went to the college. On the 7th day, the last day of my vow of pradakshina to Hanuman on the Hillview Stadium, I finished my rounds with all my devotion. I bowed down to him. And then I was looking towards Purnachandra and I was looking towards where Bhagwan stays. And I said, Lord, I have finished my promise to Lord Hanuman the way I had promised. And now my job is done. So I do not know what really becomes of my this offering of love. Does it go to Hanuman? Does it go to you? Does it go into this white space? But in any case, I have done my job, so I am satisfied. I have no guilt about not being able to perform my vowed promise to Lord Hanuman. So with these thoughts started coming down, already it was very late and around already 7:30, 8 o'clock that time the lines would leave to the college and I still had to have my bath and breakfast, so already I was rushing down and suddenly I heard the siren of the police jeep. We used to follow Bhagwan wherever he would go.
Bhagwan's car.
And those days one VIP was not well in the super speciality hospital and Swami was visiting him on very frequently everyday basis. I thought maybe Swami is just going to see that particular VIP who's in the hospital. But as I came little more down towards statue of Krishna, I realized that Swami's car already had entered the Hillview Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, Swami may be entering the Hillview Stadium, but normally he'll take a round through Shanti Vedika and then go past and go back to the ashram. So I just did not bother and started coming down. When I came where Lord Shiva's statue is at the moment of time, I saw that Swami's car is actually coming up the hill.
Okay.
So there's no way to run away. And you have to, you know, Swami certainly will cross you now. So
and you probably are in your track
pad and t-shirt. And you know, I'm not sure Swami is going to scold me, seeing me at 7:30 in the Hillview Stadium when there's nobody else in the stadium and I am alone. So, and Swami's car came. I hid myself behind a bush and I said, okay, maybe Swami will not see me. He's coming for any purpose and he will go to Hanuman and come back. So let me just hide behind this bush. But lo and behold, Swami's car stops just before me.
Oh my God.
And slowly the window pane goes down and I am now see Swami's serious face.
Oh.
And Swami puts his fingers towards me and calls me and said, come here. So with the palpitating heart, you know, which I could hear very clearly at that point, maybe surely I get scolding today from Bhagwan, I go close to him. And Bhagwan only asks one question, what are you doing here now? And I said, Swami, in the moments of tension and testing, the truth comes out, Vishu.
Yeah.
I know you know that. And I blurted out, Swami, I came for pradakshina to Hanuman. And suddenly Swami's contours changes and he becomes very happy, pleasing and shows his abhihasta and said, very, very, very happy. Wow. And as he goes a little more up, I thought probably he will go up to Hanuman and come back. But I saw that, you know, the space behind the statue of Krishna,
yeah.
Swami takes a turn from there itself and goes back to the mandir.
Okay.
And I was a little perplexed. I said, Swami, having come all the way, did not even go to Hanuman. Then why did he come here? Anyway, I had no answers. In the evening, along with two other Corissa scholars and a vice chancellor, Swami calls me inside. In fact, I'm the last one to be called through the vice chancellor. I enter and everybody else is seated in their places. And Swami speaks to the vice chancellor regarding some particular official function, which was to happen a few months hence. Suddenly Swami changed the topic, looked towards me and asked me, Niko Hanumantado Ishtamaina, do you like Hanuman?
Oh.
Translated into English, do you like Hanuman? And I was surprised. I said, of course, yes, Swami. Suddenly he called me closer and materialized a beautiful chain with a pendant, which is a replica of the Hanuman on the hilltop.
Wow, the same posture.
The same posture.
And
the Viranjaneya are carrying that Sanjeevani.
You have it even now.
I have it even now. And at that moment, it struck me that, you know, this was an answer to that particular question or a doubt in my mind. When I had finished my pradakshina, I was asking, Lord, does it go to you? It goes to Hanuman. It goes into the white space. I don't know where it goes, my prayers and offering of love. But then Swami was responding that I am that Sai Hanuman who accepts your offering of love and takes you and grants you and as an ideal, that love and devotion in your heart by which you can reach the goal of your life.
In fact, in the Hanuman Chalisa, it is said, Tumare bhajan Ram ko paavai. That is, it is said, Sant Tulsidas ji writes, that if you worship Hanuman, that worship directly reaches Rama
himself. Yes.
And this is a living example of that. A sir wanted to do pradakshina around Lord Hanuman, And Swami has directly accepted that offering which you have made. It is so beautiful.
Beautiful. I think what you see is, it is that height of faith, height of devotion, where ultimately it reaches that pinnacle of devotion, where the devotee and the Lord are one. The oneness of devotion, devotee.
Atma and the Paramatma.
Paramatma, yes. Exactly. Everything becomes same. The devotee, devoted and devotion, everything becomes same.
Becomes one. In fact, I'm reminded of, you know, one of the sayings in Bhagwan's own discourses, where he says, what does Hanuman represent? Hanuman represents the intelligent and courageous mind. And Sita is the Atman. And Rama is the Paramatman. He bridges the ocean of samsara and makes the Atman to meet the Paramatman by his courage, valor and devotion. That is the life and message of Lord Hanuman's life.
In fact, we have discussed how Shantaru, the equanimous way in which Hanuman did seva, Balavantaru, the courage and the strength that he derived from his unwavering faith in the Lord's name, Gunavantaru, how the virtues of discipline, discrimination, determination, detachment and devotion led him to do his duty, rather love without duty, which is divine. And finally, we come to this point, which is Hanumantudu. Swami also says Shantudu, Gunavantudu, Balavantudu, Hanumantudu.
Hanumantudu has a meaning.
Hanumantudu has a very beautiful meaning. In fact, once when I was preparing for a talk on Hanuman and I was praying to Swami for some inspiration, a beautiful insight was born from within. If you look at the spelling of Hanuman, H-A-N-U-M-A-N, and if you can split it into three parts, one is the first letter, that is H, capital H, which represents His. His means the Lord's. The next three letters, A-N-U, means Anu. Anu in Sanskrit, when you translate it in English, is atom.
Yes.
H, His, Anu, atom or atomic. Last three letters is M-A-N, man. Means His atomic form is man. When Krishna declares, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhutas Sanatana, Hanuman represented this truth that every single being in this world is an atomic form or a spark of that divinity.
Yes.
His Anu, atomic form, is M-A-N, man.
Wow. Excellent.
And when Sri Rama asks Hanuman, what is your relationship with me? This is what Swami beautifully describes.
Yes.
The answer which Hanuman gives, he says, when I am the body, I am your humble servant.
Yes.
In fact, when Ravana asks him, who are you? He could have verily told that I am the aspect of that Lord Shiva whom you worship. If I will, I can crush you this very moment and take Mother Sita and go. It was, he was that capable.
Yes.
But all he said was, Dasoham Kausalendrasya. I am the servant of Sri Rama.
In fact, that reminds me even that episode in Ramayana where Hanuman finally meets Sita after killing Akshay Kumar, the first son of Ravana. And
after all the achievements,
so
which
many
he had,
challenges there. So finally when he meets Sita, and Sita, after the initial courtesies, Sita actually very surprised. Mother Sita asked, Hanuman, how were you able to come?
How did you make it here?
How did you make it? Because it's not so easy. You have to kill Lankini. There are so many obstacles. How were you able to come till this point? And there, when I read that, I thought Hanuman would have told, Mother, you have no clue of my power.
Who I am.
Don't think of me as a monkey. Because I'm like this in this form, don't think of me as a monkey. Mother, there's a lot of power in me. I can do this. I have killed this. I have killed this demon. I have vanquished this. These are my powers. But Hanuman didn't do any of that. The only answer that spontaneously came from Hanumanji was, Mother, I am a servant of Rama. With Rama's grace, what is it that you cannot do?
Beautiful.
Absolutely. So that is why Hanumanji says that,
H also stands for humility.
Yes, H also stands for humility.
Yeah, go on, Kirti.
Yes. Hanuman says, when I am the body, I am your servant, my Lord. When I am the mind, this mind is dedicated in love and devotion to thee. Mind always is engaged in his Namasmarana, Ramanamasmarana. So it is a nectarine, what you say, a concentrated form of Rama's Namamrita, or the nectarine flow of the name of Sri Rama. That was Hanuman's mind itself. And he says, when I am the body, I am your humble servant. When I am the mind, I am the nectar of your name. I am the devotion, the pure love of Rama. And when I am who I really am, he says, Lord, I and you are one.
One. At the beautiful. Atmic level.
No, the aspect of the mind, which, you know, Hanuman represents. In fact, whenever Swami has asked the boys, do you have any doubts? I think one of the most frequently asked question is, how to control the mind?
Yes.
And in fact, on many discourses, Swami has told, master the mind, become a mastermind. After one of these discourses in Kodaikanal, I asked, took the spiritual risk of asking Swami, how to master the mind? What is the easiest way of mastering the mind, becoming mastermind? And Swami gave a very, very reply, very pregnant with meaning. And it also relates to, Hanuman's devotion. And Swami said, the easiest way to master the mind and become a mastermind is to love God more and more.
Wow.
As your mind is seeped in devotion, it transforms you into God itself. And when your mind is seeped with Vishaya Vikaras, it transforms you into demon.
I think that is the summary of Hanumanji's life.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Amazing. When you love God that intensely, then whatever you do, if you want to be strong, you want to be strong to do God's work. If you want to be intelligent, you want to be more intelligent so that you can use that intelligence for God's work. If you want to improve your talent, if you want to be a singer, because you can sing Rama's name. I think that is the perspective, what you get when you have that sort of a devotion. And that is what Hanuman epitomized. In fact, it's so beautiful that we are discussing about Hanuman today, because today is a Mangalwar.
Oh, it's today's Hanuman's Day.
Hanuman's Day. It just occurred to me right now. And when I was reading Ramkatha Rasavahini, Swami explains how this Mangalwar came into being. And there Swami says that when Ravana is vanquished and Rama sends Hanuman to break this good news to Mother Sita, and Mother Sita is so happy and she says, I don't know what gift to give you, Hanuman. You have brought such a wonderful news for me. And Hanuman says, Mother, you are so happy. What else? What other happiness do I need in all the three worlds? When Rama is happy, my Lakshmana is happy, my Mother Sita is happy, what else do I need? And then Mother Sita says, Hanuman, I don't know what I can give you, but I give you this boon that since you have brought me such a great news on this day, I have lost count of days, months and days, I don't know what day it is, but from this day, let this day be known as Mangalwar.
The auspicious day.
The auspicious day. And you, who is the harbinger of such great news, such auspicious news, may be worshipped on this day more than other days. And it is really so nice that it just happened that we had this chance to discuss about Hanuman on this Mangalwar. And I think plenty of lessons. And we started with why Bhagwan had placed Hanuman right at the top, the summit of every spiritual journey, as well as he shows us the way how to reach there. And we discussed how life is a game played, life is a challenge, meet it, life is love, enjoy it, and life is a dream, realize it. Life is a dream, realize it is basically you know that everything is a dream because you are not the doer.
As Swami said, I am the lion, I am the master lion, who has come into your dream to awaken you from this deep slumber you have been for births together.
Yes, and that realization that you are not the doer.
As Hanuman said,
yes,
that realization that when I am who I am, I and you are one.
One. I think that realization, Bhagwan says, no, realization is rest and best. I think that is what is the goal of every spiritual aspirant, and I think that is what Bhagwan wants every student to cultivate. He wants every student to be vibrant and dynamic, not docile and passive. He wants every student to be intelligent but humble, strong but not arrogant. And I think all those things are what epitomized in the character of Hanuman.
Shantudu, Gunavantudu, Balavantudu and Hanumantudu is what we all have to aspire.
Yes.
And I think we should pray to Swami with all our heart that he should bless us that we imbibe these wonderful virtues of Hanuman and become Sai Ram Sevaks. And in our life, if we can imbibe even 1% of the devotion that Hanuman had for Sri Rama, if we can imbibe that kind of a devotion and determination to serve the Lord in our lives will indeed be sanctified.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Brothers Sai Giridhar and Deepak Anand. Let us end this wonderful session by chanting the Sai Gayatri. Om Sai.
ईश्वराय विद्महे सत्यदेवाय धीमहि तन्नः सर्व प्रचोदयात्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
So that was the second and final part of this panel discussion on Hanuman. And you had brothers Deepak Anand and Sai Kirtidhar. We played for you the first part last Thursday. And today was the concluding part. And I hope there is plenty for all of us to ruminate on from this discussion. Everything that Bhagwan does, every moment of the avatar is pregnant with so much significance. Every little word that Bhagwan has spoken, everything that he has installed in his ashram, every rock, every boulder, every tree, every statue, every symbol, every sign in Puttaparthi, I feel, is loaded with plenty of meaning, because Bhagwan has physically placed all of these, and it is for us to find the meaning in them and then translate those meanings into our daily life. If it is Ganesha who welcomes all the devotees who come into the ashram, and if it is next to Ganesha, if we have Subramanya on one side of the ashram, to the other side of the ashram where your mother Gayatri, I think everything has plenty of inner significance. For no act of the divine, no second of the divine avatar was in vain. So let us always spend every moment in this awareness whenever we come to Prashantinilayam, and make the most of our stay here, make the most of coming to the lotus feet, make the most of knowing him, of having been given the chance of loving him, and let us live that love in our lives. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for joining us in this session. And in the next Thursday, as I mentioned before, we're going to listen to Father Francis Kumaran Subrayan, an Anglican priest from South Africa, and his insights about Indian culture, his insights about Hinduism, his insights about the story of Christmas, his insights about how in the life of Jesus you see the blend of the Krishnavatar. In the teachings of Jesus, you find the echo of the message of Rama and of Sai. So we will do this next week. Keep listening and keep writing to us. Yes, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. It really helps us to know what you feel so that we can make our offerings better every week. As Christmas approaches, let us think how we can make our lives a saga of service. Just as Father Damien said, if I cannot give my life away in service, how can I call myself a follower of Christ? How can we call ourselves devotees of Bhagwan if we too cannot make our life a stream of selfless service? Let us do one act of service, if not every day, every week, one selfless act which will fill us with joy incomparable. Let us make service, the breath of our life, and love, the beat of our heart. Thank you so much. Till we meet again next time for yet another episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. At 10 o'clock, you're going to listen to a dance drama by Balvika's children from Kerala. This is entitled Ambarisha. It was performed in front of Bhagwan on 28th August 2004. So that will begin in about 10-15 minutes from now. But for the moment, as I leave you now, let me play for you one beautiful bhajan on Hanuman. And with that, we sign off for this Thursday Live. Thank you so much. And finally, a loving sidearm from Prashantinilayam.
Sri Guru Charan Saroj Raj Nij Manu Mukuru Sudhai Baranau Raghubar Bimal Jasu Jodayak Phal Chai Buddhihin Tanu Janike Sumiran Pavan Kumar बल बुद्धि विद्या देहु मोहि करहु कलेश विकार
Jai Bajrangi, Jai Hanuman.
हनुमान जय हनुमान मारुति राया जय हनुमान।